This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You had mentioned the crochet deal, and talking to Garrett yesterday, he said that he did not want to negotiate once opening day started, which is something. When you make that trade, what's your view of a possible extension?
Well, we would obviously love to have him a part of the organization for a long time. We've seen a little glimpse of what hopefully is to come. So he and his family need to decide if Boston where they want to be, and as three of us know, it's not for everybody, but I think given his mindset and makeup, he'll have a lot of success here if that's what he chooses. So we are making it a priority to try and extend a lot of our own players that are currently under control, and he would fit into that category. So excited about conversations there, but we also don't want to push too hard and rush it if it's not the right time for him.
This is another story we put on the back burner today.
I know.
Steph Diggs for a visit last night. We go, all right, well, we'll bump down Sam Kennedy, basically blaming Garrett Crochet for not signing yesterday on the Red Sox radio broadcast here on WEEI. Bradford with a good question there. Kennedy with a very interesting answer, I thought. Everything got bumped down today because of the Celtics sale. We have more thoughts on that. We'll get to it coming up here at 617-779-7937. You can talk about it all day long. WEEI Afternoons takes over at 2 o'clock. We still got the grab bag and clip du jour coming your way here this hour. So stay tuned to Jones and Keith. Just quickly on that Kennedy comment. Bradfo said he didn't read it that way. He's like, oh, well, it's just about getting comfortable, and do they want to be comfortable in Boston, him and his family, and are they used to it?
I completely read it that way.
When I hear Sam Kennedy say, yeah, well, we want to sign him, it's up to him if he wants to be here.
Yeah.
Sounds like they're putting it on him.
Definitely. It's like, oh, is that something that he wants and whatever, or is this the right time? Like, we don't want to put too much pressure. Well, if you don't put too much money, then you're not going to get him. Like, it all comes back to that. Like, this is one of those things. Like, he's one of the better players they have acquired in recent years, but it wasn't because you threw him a lot of money. You enticed the White Sox with a really good trade, and you were able to get a guy that's under team control for 2 years. But if you want to sign him, you're probably going to have to go, first of all, completely on projection, because he's never done it for a full season yet in the majors. Like, as excited as I am about him, he's very unproven overall as far as, can he make 33 starts? Can he throw 200 innings and can he be a real ace? I think he can, but it's projection. So if the Red Sox offer him something like $300 million, they'd probably be terrified and they'd be worried about it. And they're like, we signed Chris Sale before we needed to, and that blew up in our face. Even David Price, we outbid everybody by a long shot to get him. Diminishing returns on that. Do they feel like they want to do it, or do they want to see him? They obviously want a deal, right? They're not. They'd like a good deal, but does it make more sense to see him do it for a year, even if it ends up, you know, jacking the price up a little bit? At least then you can say, all right, we're basing it off of him being good with the Red Sox for a full season.
What's your confidence level if the price goes from, say, they want to sign him right now for, what's the name of the guy who signed with the Yankees? Why am I blanking on it?
Max Fried.
Thank you. They want to sign him for Fried money or Corbin Burns money. Let's say that's the number they have in their head now. Okay, and I'm not even sure they're there and offering that. But let's say that's what they want to sign him for. He goes out and has a monster year. He's Cy Young caliber. Now it's $300 million, $350 million. What's your confidence level they're going to pay that?
Low, but higher than it was the last four years.
Okay, fine. So they've gotten a little more goodwill, but you still can't fully trust them.
Because I'd
meet you there.
What is their stance on the 8 to 10 year deal? Because it feels like they were forced to do it with Devers, right? They didn't do it with Bogarts. They famously didn't do it with Mookie Betts. Not that there's a lot of guys that you want to do those deals with, like the big extreme, a lot of years, a lot of money. They did it with Devers, and since then they haven't done it. Like Walker Buehler and Alex Bregman are great signings for this team for this year, but that's a different ballgame when you start talking about $250, $300 million.
I would just start to point them to all the deals they signed with pitchers in the past. I think they're leery of spending that kind of money on a pitcher. They were quote-unquote in on Yamamoto. They didn't get him. They were quote-unquote in on Burns. They didn't get him. And so Max Fried as well. They didn't get those guys. They were in on all of them, supposedly. Didn't get them. But they got Schilling, paid him. You won a World Series. He was still around for the second one. You got Beckett, paid him. And again, some of these are different because they were trades in the first place.
Yeah.
But if you want to go with the signings, you brought up Daisuke. Daisuke contributed on the team that won in 07. I don't want to give him too much credit.
No, I know. That's a tough one to gauge. I would say overall not a good signing, but it wasn't like a disaster.
John Lackey, I hated the signing. I didn't like him. But I would say that contract was probably worth it. He helped you win it in 2013. David Price, I liked the contract at the time. Turned out I didn't like him as we went along. Helped you win the World Series in 2018. Like I would just hope they'd look back at that and go, you know what? These guys we paid, even Sale. I know they paid him after the fact, and he came here and he won right away, and he got the final out of the World Series. Not that he helped a ton in that postseason. Even Sale, as bad as that contract was, Sale helped you win.
Yeah.
So I just wish they'd look at that. I don't think they're going to, but I wish they'd look at that and go, yeah, even for these pitchers who get hurt and don't age well and it's a risky proposition, it's normally worked out for us.
But this is also one where both sides can look at it and say, like, hey, I want this to be done, but, you know, we're signing early, so is it going to be agreeable? Meaning, do the Red Sox feel like they have to massively overpay in a situation where they would be completely bidding against themselves, and they do have them under team control for 2 years? And then if you're Garrett Crochet, this would be what I'm looking at. Out of the top 20 starting pitcher contracts, and not including Otani, but if you want to, you can. The top 20 for total value of the deal.
Total value. Okay,
total value. AAV, yep, of the top 20. Only one of those guys signed at the age of 25, which is what Crochet is right now.
And that was Yamamoto.
So it was like, it's in, and he signed a 12-year, $325 million deal. So I don't think the Red Sox are ready to give that deal out.
But he also is a free agent. Like the thing is.
Also true.
Crochet is not a free agent.
No, so Crochet doesn't have that kind, but he could also.
Like, it's very rare for a guy to be a free agent at 25, I guess would be the point.
100%.
Right?
No, you know? No, but also most of these top contracts are all guys that signed at 30 or more.
Well, we just learned that with Burns and Fried and those guys. So, fair.
So Crochet, Fried and Burns were both 30, and they both got north of $200 million, which is insane. But if Crochet wants to bet on himself, he could pitch 2 years and be, what, 27?
Mm-hmm.
And
then he'd cash in.
He would massively cash in.
He would get more than Yamamoto.
But you also don't want to have like another Tommy John or whatever else. Like, there's so much risk with pitchers.
This is why I think offering him the Fried contract right now is fair. Then he doesn't have to take fair. But I think
8 for $218.
I think that's a fair offer by the Red Sox right now. You're 2 years away from free agency. You've never been healthy. You were on an innings limit in the second half last year. I think that would be a fair offer. If the Red Sox offered that, I wouldn't blame them.
They even go that high?
No, I bet they're not even at $200 million.
Right.
And if they are, they're being weird with it. It's a 12-year deal or something like that.
Because Sam Kennedy, in that cut that we were playing, he was on the broadcast yesterday with Bradford, and he was saying that, you know, there are a lot of guys that are with them that they're trying to, like, lock up kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Tristan Casas has not gotten anywhere close to getting a deal done to the point where they might end up trading him in the offseason. Right, like Will Fleming came on the air a couple weeks ago and was like, Casas won't be on the team next year.
He did.
So that has, I think, a lot to do with maybe the contracts that have been offered and then being like, this isn't getting anywhere.
Real quick, this is interesting. And I don't think how the Red Sox would carry themselves, but I get a fan of Boston sports teams feeling this way. 617-779-7937. Not sure I want to sign an unproven guy after Swayman on the Bees.
Yeah.
Like this guy, there are some parallels to Swayman.
Sure.
Swayman never did it full time. He got a top five deal at goalie. This guy would be getting a top five deal as a starting pitcher. He's never done it for a full season.
No, I think it really is more of a question specifically for the guys that would be signing the deal, like John Henry, because you and I both say, hey, if you want that extra year of intel, great. It might cost you $100 million in the long run, which we would also still pay, whereas they might not. They might not still pay it, so they might say, hey, we get a deal done now at $200 million, or we're not coming back to the table.
I don't care if it costs you an extra $100 million. It's your money. I don't care. Pay him the $100 million, but you're paying him either way. If you cost yourself in the meantime because you don't want to overpay him now in your mind, fine. More intel. My fear is the price goes up and they never pay it. That's my fear.
Do you think, and this may depend on how good Kyle Teal ends up being, but trading Kyle Teal for 2 years of Garrett Crochet, is that a win on itself? Because part of me thinks it is. Now, I don't want to let him off the hook if they let this guy go, because like you got him here with the idea of him being the long-term ace, but I'd still make the deal.
The Weasley answer is... it depends on what Teal turns into.
Yeah,
but
my
answer today is, that's worth it.
I'd still do it.
Yeah.
It's not like they were like, hey, take Campbell and Anthony or something. Like, they gave him one of their four guys, and I'm like, okay. If it was 1 year, you'd say, no, you really got to lock him up. If it's 2 years and he's good for 2 years, I'll still be pissed especially if he's good for 2 years and everybody gets attached to him. And then they're like, sorry, like he just got a better offer by the Dodgers.
Speaking of Campbell, we read the other day he's going to be the opening day second baseman. Then
not so fast, my
the
friends.
Lineup comes out. Marcelo Meyer is playing second base with what looks like the real opening day lineup. The question is, who's the second baseman batting eighth?
Uh-huh.
But everybody else, I think we know the real opening day lineup. Bregman at third, batting third. Devers DHing, batting second. Duran leading off. Cassis Story, 4-5, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's really the only question as to the opening day lineup. We asked Bradfoe about it earlier today, and we're like, so who is it? Power rank him. And he's like, it's David Hamilton. So I was discouraged by that answer from Bradfoe. I thought we were going to get maybe it's Meyer, or it's still...
You want today's lineup?
It's still Campbell in the driver's seat, and maybe they're just getting Meyer exposed to the position to maybe play it eventually. Yes, I want today's lineup.
Lineup's out. Lineup is out.
Thank you, Evan.
I don't know if you want today's lineup. So Chris Cotillo...
Why'd you ask?
I wanted to know his answer.
Yeah.
Jaron Duran is in center.
Good.
Leading off.
Oh, wait, center. Okay.
Bregman's at third.
Uh-huh.
Yoshida's the DH.
Oh, boy.
Story's at short.
Uh-huh.
Casas at first.
Mm-hmm.
Ref Snyder in right.
Hang on. So Story and Casas are flipped? Are they, like, facing a lefty or something? Why is this lineup? Keep going.
Maybe. Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, also because Bregman's hitting second, so they're going lefty-righty, lefty-righty, lefty.
But there's no Devers.
Because there's no Devers.
Yeah.
So they can jumble that around. So Ref Snyder's in right. Wong behind the plate. Hamilton at second.
Oh boy.
Campbell in left.
Oh.
But is that... don't they have two Campbells?
Oh.
I got to double check this.
No, the other Campbell...
no, that's Campbell. Oh, they
the other Campbell's
him,
a pitcher, right? Isaiah Campbell?
Isaiah Campbell.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
So they actually have two Isaiah Campbells.
Wait, what?
I think that at one point this spring they had...
it was
two
confusing. No, it was really confusing. That's like...
too many Campbells.
We have a situation with a top NBA performer coming up that has a similar kind of issue. But so David Hamilton is the second baseman today, which Bradford did try to like soft warn us that
he did
with all this hype about Christian Campbell and Marcelo Meyer that it might be David Hamilton.
Okay, so Christian Campbell the last couple of days in what looks like the real lineup. One day he was the second baseman. One day he's in left field. Meyer was at second yesterday. It's David Hamilton today. I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing for Campbell making the roster. But in three different lineups that all look like it's mostly the regulars, it's three different second basemen.
It is funny, though, that we've been talking so much about Marcelo Meyer as a third baseman or shortstop. Obviously, he played in the minors as a shortstop, and that's the position, but with Story. So he was playing those two, and then out of nowhere, he's at second base. And now Christian Campbell, hasn't he been playing mostly second base?
Yes.
Now he's in left field.
He has played left field
sure.
in the spring, and he's definitely done it in the minors. I believe he's done it in the spring as well. But yeah, he has not been in left a ton.
So, yeah, interesting lineup.
So,
and Yoshida, who they're like, he's going to start the year on the IL because he can't throw, even though they don't want him to throw. He doesn't even have a glove, I don't think. He's the DH today
nice.
With a week to go before the season.
Real quick. And then I want
to... he can throw up to 90 feet right now. So.
Oh, nice.
Put him on second base. Add him to the mix.
Throw him second to first. Cool. Real quick, and we'll get back to the Celtics in a moment. I heard this call yesterday to WEI Afternoons. I thought it was a good point. I don't remember the name of the caller. But they're like, if they're going to play Meyer, why don't they play him at short and Story at second? He's played second before. I mean, I think I know the answer. Trevor Story is a big league vet and doesn't want to move off shortstop,
right.
And he's probably being a giant baby about it. But if you're going to bring Meyer up to the major leagues, why wouldn't you have him play his natural position?
Yeah, see, I don't think they anticipated any of this. I think he has played, specifically hit, better than they expected. So now they're like, well, the second basemen aren't really hitting, so maybe we can move Meyer over. Because isn't Jackson Holliday playing second base for the Orioles?
Oh, I don't even know.
And I think he is. And he's a shortstop, but obviously you have Gunnar Henderson is blocking him. So that's pretty legit if you have someone like that.
Yeah, it's very different than Trevor Story, who will be hurt in a week.
So I think that's another one where you can say it's going to play itself out. And he'll end up getting a bunch of shortstop starts as it goes. But this way, you're like, hey, Story, who is a better defensive shortstop right now than Marcelo Meyer? That's what...
But he's also probably better second. Like, what's the better defensive combination? Meyer at short and Story at second, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe... I still think you'd prefer to have the better defensive shortstop. Maybe that's old school of me. I don't know. I don't know what the advanced metrics would say. But I would still take the better shortstop. But... yeah, that might be one where they're like, oh, man, we already got Devers pissed at us for moving positions. Now we got to get Story pissed at us, too, if we move his position.
So that's the latest on the Red Sox. You can jump in here, 617-779-7937. On the Celtics, we talked a lot about the sale today.
Oh, yeah.
William Chisholm is the new owner of the Boston Celtics. It initially was reported at a $6.1 billion valuation. Axios has updated that. It's actually over $7 billion once you factor in the full rounds when it comes to the ownership bids. This is the first 51%. 49% is still going to be up for sale. It sounds like Rob Hale will have a bigger role in the Celtics ownership, managing partners. It sounds like Steve Pagliuca getting phased out. Whit Grosbeck put out a statement today. He seemed pretty happy about it. He's going to stay on as the managing I forget the term he used now, the governor. Mm-hmm. He's going to stay on as. We'll see when this is all finalized. And then Steve Pagliuca put out a very angry statement earlier today, including suggesting that he would have paid the luxury taxes, no questions asked. The implication being this new guy isn't going to, and he's a carpetbagger. He's on the West Coast, even though he's from here, and even though he watches every Celtics
game
on League Pass. Don't trust him.
Yeah.
I mean,
and if it falls through, I got you covered.
I understand. All right, that's
what he said.
If for whatever reason they cheap out and they don't actually have the money and they're not liquid cash like they say they are,
I got you. I am here.
I got the nickels in the couch cushions.
Yep.
But I get Celtics fans who are a little spooked by this. You wanted Pagliuca, and you're now getting a guy who you never heard of until 5 minutes ago. I understand Celtics fans who are concerned about it, and the obvious fear is this guy from private equity, who's made billions of dollars, and it's all about the bottom line and, you know, growing the bottom line and maybe building a new stadium, buying out the Jacobses for their stadium, peeling back payroll to get your money back. If that's how he's looking at it, that's scary as a Celtics fan.
Yeah, as soon as they said they were up for sale, you knew that you were going to have to brace for some uncertainty. And even if they even if Steve Pagliuca had the biggest bid and won it, we don't know exactly what he's going to do going forward. Like, if he's the one that's fully in charge of this thing. And even with Wick, like, right now they're willing to spend in the luxury tax. A lot of teams have been in the past, but at some point you have to kind of go back the other way. So you are kind of in, like, uncharted territory with that. So, you know, whether it was somebody that was a co-owner, whether it was somebody who was local, whether it was somebody from Mars, like, I think there was going to be, like, all right, what's their first move going to be? Is their first move going to be digging in to see how you can get a new stadium, which they'll pay for or whatever? Or is it, how badly do you really need Drew Holiday? Or, like, how badly? Like, well, once we see guys coming off the books, like Al Horford.
You brought up Horford, such a good one. That's going to be a really good early test for this new ownership group.
Are they willing to bring him back next year if he wants to be back?
Right, if he retires, we won't know.
Or, like, Porzingis.
But if Horford goes back to the Hawks or something like that to finish out his career, you're like, oh, they didn't want to pay him.
Honestly, like, if they win the title again this year, and let's say Porzingis plays half the games again, couldn't you see an owner being like, we need that guy for $30 million? He doesn't even really play.
Sure.
And what if we spend $15 million on a guy who's healthy? And, like, I don't know, like, there is definitely a lot of unknown with all that stuff.
Real quick, we were just talking about a new arena, potentially.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Revs can't get one built in Everett.
No, it's not ideal.
Who knows if the new ownership group could? And it's not like it would happen overnight. It would take a long time.
Well, the layout of Boston is not really, like, give you a bunch of great options.
No. Drew Mo says, a new arena, barf. Would you like a new arena?
Sure.
Me too.
Yeah.
I mean, the garden's fine. We were just there the other day. Garden's fine. It's very, very loud in the postseason.
Can we get bigger seats?
Yeah, but
we need bigger seats.
I would like
And cheaper beers.
I would like a new arena.
And cheaper beers.
I don't know that I want to drive. It wouldn't be much of a drive for me, but I would get people saying they don't want to go to Everett. It's less accessible than North Station.
Sick brag, bro.
I do get that.
Put it up in New Hampshire.
Great stuff up there. Wiggy was stumping for Revere this morning.
Put it out in Nashville. It's right over the border.
Wiggy was stumping for Revere, and I was like, come on. He's like, well, it's not that much farther. I'm like, nah, it's farther. Well, not from the South Shore.
No, right
from
now,
Rhode Island.
Right now, it is kind of perfect. Like where it is, like the location of it is awesome.
He's going to spend all this money and he's going to pay rent to the Jacobses and get nothing off concessions or parking or any. Like he's not doing that.
It'd be kind of like, do you think it would up the number of like comedians and bands that would come through? Like would they be like, hey, we can do the garden and then we can also do this other place or whatever? You just like book two different things.
That's all money that you don't own the building. You don't get any of that.
Yeah.
Like all that stuff that comes through
Disney
the garden.
Ice,
the Celtics don't get any of that.
Yeah,
you could outbid. You could undercut. You could forget outbid.
Yeah.
Undercut.
And if we
the Bruins and Jacobs in the garden,
undercutters,
and get Disney on Ice there.
And if we finally get the Olympics that everybody wants, just another building.
Now we're talking. It's another venue for the Olympics.
People are like, yes,
bingo,
finally.
So I'd be on board with the new arena. You have to imagine they're at least looking at that. And whether it would be with the casino or not, the Encore or not, that seems like a logical place. 617-779-7937. WEEI Afternoons. You can line up for them. They'll be all over this today, I'm sure. You got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. We'll get you our clip du jour later on this hour. Still updating the Jones and Keefe bracket, March Madness uniform bracket. The latest matchup, or final matchup, I should say, is up and available. It's the Jazz, their Purple Mountain uniforms, versus the Sonics, as modeled by Gary Payton. John Stockton, Gary Payton. I'm not going to stand a chance. Wait, is it Stockton? Hang on. Let me enlarge that.
Stockton,
sorry, Jeff.
Payton.
No, it's Hornacek. I'm sorry.
Oh, Horny.
Hornacek and Payton.
He'd always touch his face during the free throws to wave to his kids.
Yeah, it was a little message to the children out there.
I shot like 90% though, so you can't fault him.
So that's our final matchup of round two. Sweet 16 starts tomorrow. Vote at Jones and Keefe. You can see the full bracket on Instagram and Twitter at Jones and Keefe. And when we come back, it's time for Grab Bag.
Give me one bourbon, one scotch, and one grab bag.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for Grab Bag! It's time for Grab Bag!
Oh, it certainly is time for Grab Bag here on Jones and Keefe. What we couldn't get to in the first 3.5 hours of the program. It is day one of the NCAA tournament, Jones. Three games are underway. First, we have in the second half, number 9, Creighton, blowing doors on 8-seed Louisville.
Yeah.
56-37 Blue Jays.
First bet of the day, Louisville -2.5. I think we can light that ham on fire.
Perfect bracket, up in smoke. Creighton with a comfortable lead. We have a 4-13 matchup at the half. Purdue leads High Point 37-27.
Okay.
We were both in on High Point, at least for the bracket.
High Point was a special to the Sweet 16, as you heard earlier today on Jones and Keefe, down 10 at halftime. Not great.
The High Point Panthers.
Yeah.
You like that?
It's like a purple panther. I learned all the mascots.
It's like Nashua South.
There's a there's a bunch of mascots I had to learn because I had my son fill out his bracket by just giving him all the mascots.
That's a good time.
He has Alabama State in the national title game, which I don't...
They are what now?
They're a hornet.
So he has a hornet beating every other animal?
Yeah, well, they sting things. He was very...
Yeah, but there's got to be some other crazy stuff out there.
Where did he stand on this one, a blue jay and a cardinal?
Ooh.
Oh, that is tough.
He went...
Just look at my backyard. Yeah, just ask, like, all right, who's winning this one? I was at the Blue Jay. They're like twice the size.
He had a hornet beating a tiger in the first round. He has a hornet beating a
tiger.
Yeah, well, it's stung him, I guess. I don't know. I didn't ask
What's
him all the logic.
Like?
I had to
is
fill out
school any good?
I had to fill out 63 of these. I didn't ask a lot of questions.
That's
but my point is, I did
I would have stopped him right there.
Like, I did know High Point because High Point. They're the Purple Panthers. I did learn that.
So I like that. Yeah. And then just underway is Wisconsin versus Montana.
Ooh, I have Wisconsin in that. They're clinging to a 1-point lead early. So good. Let's get our first hit. Let's get our first win here, boys.
Auburn plays later, one of the number one seeds. Tennessee, the 2 seed, is in action. What else do we got? St. John's, Rick Pitino and St. John's. That game is in Providence. They take on Omaha, scheduled for 9:45.
Nice.
So there you go.
That's your you like the Johnnies.
I got him winning the whole. I got him cutting the nets down, Jones.
Got him cutting down the nets to get out of the East. That's and right. Then also do it. Are they in the East? To get out of the West, I'm sorry.
Yes, they're in the West. Famously the West playing in Providence. Just the right amount.
Yeah.
To me, just the right amount. The Boston Bruins are still alive, Jones. Have you checked the standings lately?
Nope. No, I have not. No.
Well, I'm here to tell you they are 4 points out of a playoff spot. Not too bad. Of course, riding a 3-game losing streak.
How old is this kid at Creighton? I'm sorry. But
32.
This guy's got to be.
They won't hit all their
threes. This guy's got to be in his 30s. How old is this? He's like 5'8". He makes everything. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Was that the guy they showed his wife and kid in the crowd in all seriousness?
No, maybe. I don't know. How old is this kid?
He's been playing since COVID, Get that extra year.
He's 5'8". He's got to be 32. He's making everything.
This
anyway,
is why
I'm
people
sorry.
Love the tournament.
He's Bruin. 24. He'll be 25 in 2 months.
Jesus.
Is that right? He's older than
Steven Ashworth. I think that's who he is.
So he's older than Belichick's girlfriend.
Yes.
And he's playing in the NCAA tournament. Great.
Well, if you believe our buddy Jacob Boston, Jordan actually is very, very influential with
the Tar Heels
NCAA tournament committee. Yeah, good job by Jordan.
I think Tar Heels go on a long run.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Bruins are 4 points out of a playoff spot. What was that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Knocking on the door.
Yeah.
So they got a 5-game road trip starting tonight in Vegas against the Golden Knights. So a 10 o'clock puck drop.
Should be a good one.
You know, if you have the quad box going with four college games, try to get a fifth box going for Bruins. Nice.
Well, then you got to get the Severance finale tonight. I'm sure we're getting to that.
Oh,
but you
we're
getting
to that.
I mean, my God, it's a busy night.
There is a lot going on. Yeah. That is for sure.
Trevor Anakin, I have the
grab bag.
You underestimate my
grab bag.
Don't try it.
25th anniversary of that movie coming out. I think
really?
In April. Yeah, very excited.
Huh.
The Texans have given Danielle Hunter a 1-year contract extension worth $35 million. Danielle, it's spelled. His mama named him Danielle. I'm going to call him Danielle. No, Danielle Hunter.
I didn't really get that. So he's tacked on a year for that guy, huh?
They're like, you know what this guy needs?
1-year extension.
Yeah, this guy needs another $35 million.
Grab bag on Jones and Keith. Grab bag on Jones and Keith. Grab, 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 grab bag on Jones and Keith.
Grab bag's rule.
All right, we have a new segment within the segment.
Oh.
During Grab Bag now for TBD, I would say. We don't know how long it's going to last. We're going to ask the question, is Aaron Rodgers still a free agent?
Yes.
He is.
Today, yes.
Wow, okay.
Still a free agent.
I didn't know if I had missed something.
Yep, nope.
Nice.
Honey, what do you feel like doing for dinner tonight?
I don't know. I could go for some grab bag.
I don't know. I had grab bag yesterday around 1:30, but I guess I could have some more.
So is that supposed to be Everybody Loves Raymond? That's all I hear there.
I don't know. I let the people out there be as creative as they want, and the results have been mixed.
Just a good show, really.
Severance season finale is in fact tonight. Now, for the first, I don't know, 7 episodes, I was convinced it was a Friday show. It is actually a Thursday at 9 show on Apple TV Plus, which also got reported today. They lose $1 billion on their streaming service annually. They put out some good shows.
$1 billion.
Yeah.
So you could just not.
They're taking a bath.
You could just not have that for 7 years and buy the Celtics.
Correct.
Disney should have just done that.
Apple.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Apple is what I meant to say. You just do that.
But Severance finale, it is reportedly going to be 76 minutes long, which would be the longest episode of the season. And some are saying it's like a one shot. Which I don't know if it will be or not.
Well, I know on the hashtag Dork podcast they're saying
that. That's what the people were
talking about. I heard you guys saying that there. So it's 76 minutes, and it's tough that it's on the first night of the tournament.
So that's what I'm kind of bummed about.
I don't know when I'm actually going to get around to watching it, but I will watch it.
I don't know what I'm going to do either, but we'll have to figure it out.
And I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go.
Grab bag.
Let's go. Grab bag.
The NHL and Commissioner Gary Bettman are discussing possible changes to the All-Star Game format. They're still just falling over each other backwards about how successful the Four Nations was.
Honestly,
they're trying to figure out what to do. Yeah.
They're like Robert Kraft. I mean, hockey did one thing right.
And they're like, how about, remember that?
Yeah.
You guys remember that, Four Nations?
Hockey,
like, yeah, dude, it's great.
Hockey screws up so many things.
Yeah.
And they got one thing right. And they're like Robert Kraft out taking a victory lap for signing a couple of free agents.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? They're going to do this again next year, the Four Nations?
I guess.
I thought next year the Olympic year?
I thought next year was the Olympics.
Yeah. I thought so too, but then they said that the Islanders are hosting some sort of like all-star event or something. And it's like, well, you guys got to figure out what you're doing.
Figure out your deal.
No,
I get it. Cancel the all-star game for an international tournament in a non-Olympic year. And then in the Olympic year, make sure you also have
an all-star game. Yeah. Like, okay, that'll work.
That's very hockey.
Grab bag. All right, the New York Yankees this year, we talked about some of the new food items at Fenway Park yesterday.
Yeah.
The New York Yankees are going to be offering tiramisu inside helmets.
Tiramisu. Inside helmets?
Tiramisu. So it's going to be made with...
Pags' grandmother is not happy with that.
No. So you get take a regular Yankee helmet. Like a batting helmet.
Uh-huh.
No ear flap, though. So more like John Olerud Yankee helmet.
Sure.
Flip that sucker over.
Yeah.
And then you're going to fill it with espresso mascarpone cream.
Mascarpone? I think.
Ladyfinger cookies.
That one I'm less confident in. Yeah,
cocoa powder.
Okay.
You gonna get a spoonful of this right here?
I mean, that
take a look at that.
Honestly, that looks great.
More likely to have
tiramisu.
A lobster bisque in a bread bowl at Fenway or tiramisu in a Yankee helmet.
Have you ever been to Yankee Stadium, old or new?
No.
Me neither. I've
never been inside.
So I guess the answer is clam chowder because I haven't been to that stadium. I probably won't be going to that stadium.
Yeah, no, that would
so
be.
I guess the answer by default is clam chowder. Every day I knew.
All right, time now for the top NBA performer from last night.
You sure?
Number one, Sandro Mamukelushvili.
I saw this dude's stats this morning. I was like, I can't wait for Keith to pronounce this
name. We got tweets about it last night.
I can't wait for this guy.
Sandro nailed it.
If you want proof that this is catching on.
Mamukelushvili.
Yeah. If you want proof this is catching on, Keith, I think we got our first submission on social media for a
top
suggestion.
NBA performer.
Yeah, so I think it's got to be him. But keep going.
34 points, 9 rebounds in 19 minutes.
Real nice.
The guy was just burying every shot he took.
Yeah.
Devin Booker. I feel like we haven't had a lot of Devin Booker.
No, bad year for the Suns.
41 points, 7 assists. Denny Avija for Portland. We've had him before. 31 points, 16 boards, 8 assists.
Well, I don't know that he's ever won, but he's been a nominee.
No, he has
a frequent nominee.
Yeah. Evan Mobley.
Yeah.
31 points, 10 rebounds.
Heard of him.
And this is what I was talking about earlier when we were getting our Campbells mixed up on the Red Sox.
Oh.
Jalen Williams for Oklahoma City, triple-double. Not that Jalen Williams.
Oh, the other Jalen
Williams.
Not the Santa Clara. Is it Santa Clara Jalen Williams? The other Jalen Williams from Arkansas, maybe?
This would be the, I think it is the Arkansas. Yes, the Arkansas Jalen Williams. Nice. Spells it differently. J-A-Y-L-I-N.
Got it.
Williams. Triple-double for him. 19 points, 17 rebounds, and 11 big assists.
I'm going to side with Alex, who submitted Sandro Mamukulashvili. I'm going to side with Alex on that. Yeah.
Kalushvili.
Oh, is that what it is? I'm going with him. Yeah,
everybody knows that. Let's get to this.
It's time for Jones and Keefe's
Random. Brandon Phillips.
Eduardo Nunez.
Curtis Luskanic.
Baseball player of the day.
By the way, to the text line, half right, somebody goes, Keith, isn't your wife a pastry chef? You're butchering the food pronunciations,
bro. I was thinking that, yeah.
She's not a pastry chef. She went to culinary school, and she has been a chef. And she actually texted during that segment with pronunciations for those words. And was surprised that
sick brag,
I screwed all those up.
How'd I do?
I think you might have been right.
Mascarpone and tiramisu. Yeah.
Pronunciation, not my. But you listen to the Severance recaps. Yeah. It's not my strength.
No, it's not.
It's not my
thing. It isn't, for sure, yeah.
All right, so in lieu of random baseball player, and much to the chagrin of all the listeners, we are doing random college basketball player of the day during the tournament. Nick is coming up with a player. And so what we've decided this time is, at first, Nick's going to give us only three clues.
Yeah.
But he's going to go school.
Nice.
And then we're going to exhaust our guesses.
Right. You say Arkansas, we say Jalen Williams.
We did not 100 guys.
Right, yeah.
Corliss with big nasty. So then you go, so school, let us fight over it. Then year or like decade?
Yeah, maybe decade.
Decade.
Yeah.
And then
position.
Position.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, what do we have today?
All right, today's player from the University of Maryland.
Juan Dixon.
Nope.
Steve Francis.
No.
Lonnie Baxter.
No.
Chris Wilcox.
Nope.
Len Bias.
Oh, Jesus.
Nope.
That's a dark turn.
It's good at Maryland.
Maryland. Yeah, Joe Smith.
Oh, girl.
No.
Oh, that's
a great one. Good player. Number one pick.
Laurent Prophet.
Who?
That might have been Pitt. Never mind. They had one of those guys.
Give me
Mike Jones.
Ooh. Who?
So what was supposed to be the next clue? Decade was supposed to be the next
clue?
Yeah,
it was a decade.
Early 2000s.
Early 2000s. So that would have been Juan Dixon, Steve Blake, Chris Wilcox.
Nick,
you got it!
Chris Wilcox?
No, Steve Blake. I didn't hear you guys say that first time.
I don't think we did say
Steve
Blake.
Who was your first guest?
I said...
Steve Francis.
I said Steve Francis.
Oh, Steve Blake. So I heard...
Steve Blake.
Steve Blake.
I was about to guess Nick Kaner Medley.
Did he put... Maynard.
Yeah.
Blake was good. I felt like he was one of those guys that felt like he played for 10 years and then was actually like had an NBA career. Steve Blake.
I was going to say he might have had a 10-year NBA career. He was in the NBA for
good,
a while.
Right? Yeah. But he was the prototype pass first point guard.
Yeah.
Like you get yourself a nice Steve Blake.
Yeah.
Steady.
He was like a
steady Steve Blake.
He was like a later career Scott Skiles.
You're right. You said Stevie Franchise, so then I think I took Steve Blake
off the
board.
The year they won the tournament, he only averaged 8 points, but he averaged 8 assists
also. Yeah, 100%. He always had the ball. He'd bring it up, and then he'd just dish it and get out of the way.
Steve Blake, 13-year NBA career.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Lakers, right, for a bit?
Hang on. Wait, don't worry about it. Just backed out of it.
I think you're saying Sandro Mamukelushvili.
Did Katie correct you on that one?
Yeah,
too,
she's
no?
Like, no, yeah. She didn't know that one.
Let's see. Ready for Steve Blake. Steve Blake, Washington, Portland, Denver. Portland again. Clippers. Lakers. Warriors. Portland again.
Guy was
Detroit.
In like every trade. They're like, hey, and we'll give you Steve Blake.
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing this unless we get Steve Blake.
All right, nice. Good get there, Keith.
That was a good one. Nick, I like that one.
It's a Keith approved one. Good for you, Nick. Good job.
It's random NBA players who were decent in college.
Yeah, that might be the sweet spot. That's what we're looking for.
We're cooking with gas.
Yeah. So really it's just random NBA player, just where they went to school.
Yeah,
that's kind of what we were looking for.
Maybe they went to an Elite Eight, a Sweet 16. Maybe they
finally figured that out.
The Nets down one.
Yeah, it took us 4 days.
One shining moment. Here comes Stevie Blake.
Someone was really upset we used that song earlier. Like, it's March Madness, dude.
Who was mad about that?
I don't know, some guy on Twitter.
Oh, don't.
Somebody on Twitter's like, what is this, a Disney song?
The heck?
Dude, we're talking about the tournament. This
Luther
the
Vandross.
Theme of the tournament.
If you're mad today, the sun is shining, the tournament's going on, the Celtics just sold.
I'm mad that Creighton refuses to miss. I am
mad
about
that. Well, they're taking it out on Twitter.
Yeah, but short of that.
I'm going to get on Twitter and get mad.
I'm pretty happy. Creighton, mix and a miss. That's the grab bag each and every day here on Jones and Keefe, your random college basketball player of the day.
It's good stuff.
It's finally a Keefe-approved one, so good job there.
Steve Blake.
Good work. We'll get to the clip du jour and check in with WEEI afternoon, see what they have coming up next.
All right, back here on Jones and Keefe WEEI. Jones, ready for the clip du jour?
That sounds fantastic. What's the clip du jour again?
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the clip of the day. And today, early in the show, we were talking about the breaking news that was the Boston Celtics have been sold. And we kind of fast-forwarded a little bit, and we're saying, well, what the hell would happen if with the new owner, they win the title? What is that going to look like after the game? Hmm. Stupid question, but maybe you can provide a smart answer.
It's okay.
If the Celtics win the title, does this guy hold up the trophy first?
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Like, so he bought the team now, so, like, it's good. So, like, he's the one.
If I put up six
guys, it's been a hell of a 3 months. I don't know all your names, but I do want to say.
What is it again?
Today we are champions! Like, who is this guy?
I want to hand the trophy to, is it James Mazzulla?
Nope.
Bob Stevens?
Bill Chisholm. I'll tell you, he just walks off with it. We are all Celtics! This guy barely got.
Anything is possible.
It's covered in champagne. Like, dude, you just got here.
Dude,
we don't know. You don't even know us.
Come on.
I can see that.
I want Irv.
Adam Silver.
I want Irv to
get up here. We know it's been a long, hard battle for you, Bill. You've been with this team since the beginning. He's like, no, I popped in with 10 games left in the regular season. What a ride! If every year is like this, it's going to be worth it. I think it's a real question.
It is a real question now that's
a real serious thing.
We learned Wick is staying on.
Uh-huh.
And Wick, he elbowed Pags right out of the way last year. He elbowed this guy out of the way.
Oh, hey, the way Wick was up on the stage last year, he could get 5-6 rebounds a night in the NBA. That box out.
Thanks for giving Dad $7 billion there, Bill. But out of my way, that's my trophy.
Hold that trophy up.
Yeah, seriously.
It's like an awkward fight over it. Just something to keep an eye on.
What a day.
It really has been.
Talk about news out of left field. WEEI Afternoons all over it today. Yeah, got Hart. You got Fitzy. You got Ted. What are you guys doing with the new Celtics ownership there, Hart? You worried about it at all?
I think you have to be worried about it. I am not super worried because I think people fixate on the year-to-year, oh, he's got to cut costs because he doesn't want to lose money. You don't lose money, especially if he gets an arena. The second he can do a deal for an arena, doesn't this team go from $7 billion to $9 or $10 billion, right like that. So the $500 million you lost over a season or two is pittance. All these franchises just blow up in value, and especially when you don't have your arena. So I'm not overly worried that he's going to be looking to cut all the costs, and that's separate from him being a lifelong fan and all those things.
Heard this a few times.
Encyclopedic knowledge.
They're laying that on pretty thick.
He watches every game.
Yeah. Don't you have to prove that at some point?
He's from the North Shore.
Yeah, you say that, and then you're going to do interviews at some point, right. And then when somebody brings
Bill, what'd you think of the all-women's broadcast on NBC Sports Boston the other day? Like, maybe he just...
You watch all the games, right?
You know who Tommy is?
Yeah.
You see
first
everything.
Question. I say Tommy, you say what? But no, I feel like on NBC Sports, and I'm expecting a Sean McVay like... Well, remember that in the second quarter in 86 when Bird did the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, you are setting yourself up for that.
Yeah, I would have kept that in my back pocket. Let people figure that out along the way.
Like, but you know why they're doing it.
Yeah, because it's perceived as a good thing.
They're worried about carpetbagger, outsider image, where Pags said in his statement today, his very angry statement today, we would have spent whatever, luxury taxes be damned. Like, the implication is this guy's from the private equity world. He's from, I know he grew up here, but he's been on the West Coast, and he's going to tear the thing down. So they're trying to combat that.
And I also like the PAG statement, which definitely had sort of anger and disappointment littered throughout. But then it's like, but if it falls through, I'm still here. Give me a call.
Unbelievable.
I'm not burning this bridge, baby.
Great.
I'm still here with $6 billion in hand if this falls through with the other guy. So, we'll talk about that. We were obviously going to lead off with Stephon Diggs, which I think is an interesting visit on a lot of levels.
Mm.
Hypocrisy setting in for some of the whole culture thing.
Totally.
But I also think if you're going to put that out there, you must have real interest. I don't think this is a dog and pony show.
It's not a Red Sox thing.
I don't think it. Why would you undercut the whole narrative of your offseason with this visit?
Because if you don't sign him, it'll just be people like you and me kicking and screaming.
You visited him.
But most fans won't connect those dots. If you sign him.
You did have sex with her. Don't try to get weird here. You invited him into your building.
Yeah.
So culture be damned. Go on. Red flag.
I view it that way, but I don't think most people will think about it that hard.
I don't like it. So we'll dive into that. Ted will be here at 3. Quiz with Stiz, 5:30.
Yes.
3:30, Curran. So I will be asking him about the culture stuff very much. Because I'm very interested in this debate. of what's worse, to give bad culture guys or no talent guys? I actually think it's worse to give a quarterback no talent.
Definitely.
I'd rather, to me, all quarterbacks deal with crap. It comes with the position
at
every level of football. And then
last year they did, and those guys couldn't catch a cold. So.
I want divas because usually divas can play. Right. Last year you had divas who couldn't play.
Yeah.
It'll never get worse than that. Divas who can't play. He already dealt with that crap that he had last year. And then 4:30, we are scheduled to talk to Razor.
Oh, yeah?
We are scheduled to talk to Razor.
Interesting.
I don't know. Some of the texters who also listen to your show after last week's interview texted in like, he ain't coming on again. That's the way he ended the other show, too.
He does have a,
So, I didn't pick up on the tone. I like Razor.
Sure. Who doesn't?
Had some great conversations.
Yeah.
Fine line between good goalies and great goalies, all that, you know, defending his guy, Swayman.
Which side of the line is he on? Anyways, so that's at 4:30.
Yeah.
By the way, free idea from the text line, 617-779-7937. If you ever have new Celtics owner Bill Chisholm on the show, quiz with Chiz. That's a free idea from the text
line. Done by Stiz.
You gotta be careful with that. That sounds close to something you don't want to be saying, all I feel like. But yes, quiz with Stiz. We're also going to unveil our brackets starting today for the best nicknames in Boston sports.
All right.
We didn't steal it from you guys. We just came up with it on our own.
Sure.
Nice.
We weren't forced into doing it by anybody either.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
Well, that's a WEEI Afternoons. Yeah, I got him. Yeah, I got Fitzy. You got Ted. The crossover brought to you by the 99 Restaurant for their new daytime deals menu.
Which
available
gets it.
Monday through Saturday until 5 p.m. Enjoy the new specials like the flatbread combos or the Vermont cheddar chicken sandwich. You gotta love the night.
You can't read that, can you?
No.
Gina says it's quiz with, and she got the right rhyming word.
Oh, I see.
Thank God
somebody got
it. Not chiz.
You can't read that?
From where over there? No.
It's like 10 feet away. Do you drive?
Sure do. Really well. I'm probably the best
driver
here.
I mean, don't test him, but he's man, the man has.
Don't cross the street
in
front
of
Rich.
You guys want to race?
No, you're... No.
Stay tuned. Right. Hart, Fitzy, Ted. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 here on WEEI.
Thank you, guys. That was fun.